It's a joy to be with you this evening. We're looking at the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, one of the post-exilic prophets. Don't be put off. There's some great encouragement here, I believe. This is all God's word. John Calvin said the 12 prophets are like the book of Romans. It's God's word. It's the same. So we need to heed and hearken. So the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. We don't worry about so much every aspect of this vision, it's the truth that it conveys. And that truth is that my text is verse 6 of chapter 4. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So God works through us, and he is all powerful. So we read Zechariah chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 1. Zechariah 4, verse 1. And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked. Behold, a candlestick all of gold, with a bowl upon the top of it, and his seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes. And the seven lamps which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof. With shoutings, crying, Grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of his house. His hand shall also finish it. Thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? They shall rejoice and shall see the plummet. In the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, they are eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches? That through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. He answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. And he said, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. So reads the word of the living God. Let's pray that he will open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes that we may see and savor. And absorb your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Don't be too discouraged at this passage. If we boil everything down, this is God saying, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God works through his Holy Spirit that is all powerful. And we're not to think it is all up to us. How discouraged we will be if we think it's all up to us. It's not. It is God working through us, through his Holy Spirit. Zechariah with Haggai was concerned with rebuilding the ruined temple in Jerusalem after Israel returned from, remember, 70 years of exile. How would you feel if tomorrow you were carried away into70 years is a long time to be away from home. I was at boarding school, and a term was a long time to be away from home. They didn't let us out because that would hurt the pupils from overseas. So they couldn't go home, so we couldn't go home. That's how it was. But think of the Jews, they come back from Babylonian exile and they need to rebuild the temple. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi rebuilding that temple. Remember when they did rebuild it and prayed for the Lord to come and fill it, nothing happened. Not like the first temple. So they were tough days. The glory is gone, and they've got to rebuild a temple, but it's not going to be like the temple of old. It's not going to be like Solomon's temple. But they say, God said, do it. It's not going to be like before, but keep on plowing on. Ultimately, remember, it was Messiah who was coming. So it is important. So for Zechariah, it's tough. The book of Zechariah is hard. Jerome said the hardest of all the books, it's visions, oracles, it's apocalyptic and looking to the future. So it's the principles that we lean upon, not figuring out all the symbolism. It's that how encouraging in this great city when we read that my text, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That is how God accomplishes his purpose. So this church could be where revival starts. Isn't that a great hope and a great encouragement? As I say, Johnny Calvin said, the minor prophets or the 12 are just as important as Romans or the Gospels. So the truth, this is God's word. We believe every word, don't we? But do we really believe every word of Holy Scripture is the word of God and it is profitable? We're probably not poring over Zechariah like we pore over the Psalms and Matthew and Philippians, are we? But it is God's truth. When we think of the New Testament, Zechariah is one of the most frequently quoted books of the Old Testament in the New Testament. Isn't that incredible? It's one of the most frequently quoted in the New Testament. So it is of great importance. There are, I believe, 70 plus quotations in the New Testament of this book. Lots in the book of Revelation. A third of the quotes are in the Gospels. Many are in the book of Revelation. People say they don't understand Revelation. Well, because they don't understand or have studied Zechariah. So this is God's word. It is important. We don't have to figure out the mysteries. All we have to figure out is, as you labor, as you pray, as you come to church week after week and do your ministries, remember washing the dishes, cooking the food, cleaning the church, praying for your pastors. All those things you do is hugely important because it is accessing that power of God from on high. So the New Testament writers could relate to Zechariah in their own time because it is the word of God. He is in one of the last of the what we call the post-exilic prophets. That's quite simple. He was post after the exile to Babylon. And that temple had to be rebuilt. And in a sense, we're always trying to rebuild the church, aren't we? It's not spiritualizing to say we're always trying to build the church, aren't we? Peter says we are all living stones in God's temple. So they are, you're a stone, you're a building block. And this church is composed of, it's a temple. You are the stones and you're built together. The foundation is God's truth. The cement is love. And then God builds his temple here. So it's very relevant. We might say, it's so hard. I'm always overwhelmed when I'm squashed on that underground train or trying to cross the road in London. How many people are there in this place? There's so many. And we Christians are so few. Even if you're a church of 1,000 people, that's still a drop in the bucket in a city of, 10 million or so. But we don't despair because not by might nor by power, but my spirit saith the Lord of hosts. And that's what we hold on to. So the message is timeless. It's not just for that day, it is timeless. But Zechariah tells us because he saw, this the effort to rebuild the temple, and people said, oh, what's the point? Or, this is so hard, or this is taking so much time. Let's build our city first, let's build the roads, let's build the shops, let's build our industry, not the temple. Low priority, but Zechariah said, no, gotta do it. You still have to build, but God has a larger spiritual plan. Why is the temple so important? Rebuilding of the temple, because it's a symbol of God's presence with his people. And that's what we have today. It is true that this church is a temple wherein God dwells. I mean, God comes and dwells among us. The more we want God, the more he will come and dwell in this place. And then when God dwells in this place, that's when we really feel, wow, what a blessing. God is here, the God of the universe, and he's dwelling with his people. That's what Revelation 20 teaches. That's our ultimate goal, is God dwelling with his people. So the temple rebuilding symbolized this God's renewal of his people after exile. Remember, to make it simple, God's people basically turned away from God, that we don't want you anymore, and they got very lax and terrible things being done in his very temple. So God said, okay, I'll send the Babylonians, and they'll just take over Jerusalem, they'll destroy the temple, destroy your city, they'll take you all the way to basically to prison, 70 years. But then God brought them back, the next generation back. And so it's a renewal, really. And this whole symbolism of the olive trees giving forth the oil into the tank, down through the pipe into the light. You can see that symbolism, can't you? Olive oil, I have friends of Italian friends of mine that say, our olive oil in this country is rubbish. They bring in their own. One of my friends, he brings his own olive oil in. He says, oh, your olive oil is so terrible. But here we have basically olive trees. I should have diagrams. Olive trees give the oil. The oil goes into it like a tank, goes down two pipes, which splits into seven and gives the light. And that's how you still light your house. The temple is lit. The olive oil lit. The presence, it symbolized the presence of God. The two pipes being Zerubbabel, the builder, Zechariah, the prophet. But it's like this, the tree keeps giving the olives, and then the oil comes into the tank, into the pipes. The pipes go into the light. Remember, there was a light lit in the temple all the time. It's symbol of the presence of God in that temple. It's the same today. It's this whole struggle to have the abundant presence of God in his temple, or today in his church. So we have again this issue we see here. Remember, this is a vision. This is the fifth vision of what God was going to do. And ultimately, remember who came? Jesus came. And what did Jesus say? He said in John 8, 12, then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And he said this in the temple. So ultimately, we have the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but going back to my verse, not by might, nor by power, nor by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It addresses issues that trouble us in every generation. Is God really almighty? Is God really powerful? Will the world get better or worse? You know, will God's kingdom be established in this world? It seems so small. It doesn't matter. It is all powerful. This is should be our motive for ministry. So faith in God, that's the first step. God is going to act. And then we hope. You know, we need to have hope. When you go through tough times, you need to have hope. God's in control. God's in charge. I don't know what's happening, but God's in control. God's in charge. To a bit sort of in a cliched way, God is large and he's in charge. He's in charge of the universe, this world, the church, and your life. Isn't that a great encouragement? No matter how dark, he sheds that light. All will be well because God loves you. He cares for you. So these visions kind of paralyzed Zechariah. You know, it's kind of a shock. We have gold lampstand. This was not the menorah. Bowl of oil, seven lamps, or more accurately, spouts, and two olive trees. You know, and I say the olive oil was the lamp fuel. And it's God's message, you know, that the two trees, I believe, Joshua was the high priest, Zerubbabel was the civil ruler. So those were the two guys that God is going to use to rebuild the temple. These two anointed people, Joshua, not Joshua of Jericho. This is Joshua the priest. So priest and ruler are the tree. God's going to give them power. That's the symbol of his spirit, the oil. And through them, the priestly family, and then the Davidic line, ultimately, the true light is going to come. That true light is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the ultimate temple. Remember, temple is where God's presence dwells. We went go in the Bible from tabernacle where God dwelt, to the temple where God dwelt, to the second temple, and then we have the Lord Jesus Christ, where God dwelt. So God's work is achieved by God's strength, not by might, not by power, not by military strength, not by physical action, not even by sheer hard work, even though we do that for the Lord. It is God's spirit. And as Martin Lloyd-Jones said, God can do more by his spirit in 5 minutes than we can do in 100 years. If I said to you this time next year, this church will be full to overflowing, you might say, oh, no, it won't happen. But it can happen because God is a great God. You might say, those prayers I've been praying for myself, my loved ones who are lost, they're never going to come to the Lord. Yes, it can happen because God is a mighty God. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is God in action. Is the God that does stuff, and he does exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ask, think, or imagine. We are also told in this passage, in verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? Generally think, in those days, remember, they came back from Babylon, the city is a ruin. How would we feel if you came back to whatever your hometown is and it was a ruin? All gone. I'd be pretty sad if there was no Big Ben and St. Paul's Cathedral and London had gone. But that's how it was for the Jews coming back from exile. And they had to start again in this very small scale, a kind of, dare I say it, a kind of bit of a rickety temple, you know. Nothing like the last one. And they're all saying, you know, this is really bad. And remember, they're only back because the Persian ruler Cyrus said, well, I'll let you go back. Still under Persian control. And it's a day of small things. And they probably think, everything's over. But it's not, because Look what God was going to do a few centuries later. The Lord Jesus Christ was going to come. So we need the vision, and we need to understand God has great and mighty plans and purposes that will prevail. So think of that vision of the olive trees, the oil just flowing and flowing and keeping those lights going. As we apply that today, we are to depend on the Holy Spirit of the living God for everything we do. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I believe when he went up to the pulpit, there were 10 steps, and Spurgeon said, "I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Ghost." Every step he went up into that pulpit, he prayed 10 times, "I believe in the Holy Ghost," because he knew if the Spirit of God is there, great things happen. If the Spirit of God is not there, nothing's happened. So the lesson, applying that for us today, you know, Jesus did say, "Without me, ye can do nothing." So depend upon the Holy Spirit, you know, to build that kingdom of God. We depend on God, and we are faithful in our work and in our service. And, you know, God is the light of the world, as Jesus is today. And so many walk in darkness. They desperately need this light. Without the light in the temple, remember, this was temple furnishings. Without the oil and that light in the temple, it was just a dark building. They kept that light going all the time. You know, without it, it symbolized no light, no presence of God. The temple is just a building. A lamp with no fuel is what? Just an ornament. What's the point having a light? I got a light in my kitchen that doesn't work anymore, and I haven't got around to replacing it. You know, flashes, bright flashes all the time, and it's awful. What a waste of time it is having a light that doesn't give off light. Jesus says, "I'm the light of the world," and we are to reflect that light. So we are to be lights too, to this dark world. So, Jesus said, "The burning light and light to the temple and the world." And it was human beings who made them, humanly speaking, got it to burn by replenishing the oil 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They had to keep that lamp in the temple burning. And God is using that picture to say, the Holy Spirit of God will keep us burning. He will be the energy and the power. How else can we explain revival? How else can we explain in the history of this nation how Christianity just turned the world upside down? So what an encouragement as I close. Don't be discouraged, because it's not up to you. It is up to God. We yield ourselves to him, and he will work through us. Some of you here might change the world. 12 fishermen, or 11 fishermen, pretty much, and a tax collector, change the world. And we can do the same. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Finally, that term, the Lord of hosts, is the Lord of the heavenly armies. Okay? So next time you're a bit worried about God helping you, think of this. Think of the Lord Jesus Christ and his army of millions, or even maybe billions, of angelic angels. His army helping you, watching you, protecting you. What an encouragement that is. You know? Jesus and the army of heaven watching over you, caring for you, helping you. This is not fantasy. This is reality. We praise God's holy name. Amen. Back to Pastor Mark.
You just stay there in case there are any questions, John.
Any questions?